Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 8. Let's stand and read the first 11 verses of Ecclesiastes. Who is as a wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him.
Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou?
Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be?
There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain his spirit, neither hath he power to the day of death. There is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it.
All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt.
And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come to the mount from the place of the holy, and they were found in the city.
Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence today. We recognize you as our only God,
Amen.
Our only Savior, our only righteousness, our only good. We know you're the only one that answers prayers, and all great gifts come from you. We praise you today. We thank you today. We ask you to bless us with your Holy Spirit. May you apply the Word of God to our hearts as needed. Give me a freedom and ease only you can give. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you be seated? I wanted some wisdom. I began reading and I thought, well, why not look at the wisest man that ever lived? Now, that didn't mean he didn't sin or he wasn't foolish, but he is purported to be the wise man. He asked God for wisdom. What'd God do for him? Gave him wisdom. And so he wrote several books. I don't know whether he collected most of those Proverbs. He probably did. He probably wrote a few. But the book of Proverbs is known as the book of Solomon. And you have this book of Ecclesiastes, which is a very dark book in some ways. And then you have the Song of Solomon, which, man, I've heard interpretations from real plain and do imaginary and beautiful things said about it. That's what we have from Solomon. In some ways, he wasn't too smart. I know the power of one wife, and she could certainly turn my head. I don't. Okay, I decided to go with something in here that really caught my attention. Look at verse 6. Because to every purpose, there is time and judgment. To every purpose. Now, God is not necessarily limited by time. I don't think that God is under time. I believe God is outside of time. Time is a thing under the control of God, and that He's not controlled by it. The Bible says 1,000 years in control of all of it. But two things. Time and Guatemalan time. And we started on gringo time. They didn't start on gringo time. I tell you what, it was a real, real problem. I went to a graduation. It's an old story, but it's my story. I went to a graduation of two of the young men that I'd led to the Lord. They were graduating from their college. And they had that graduation to be at 7 o'clock at night. Sounded good. I got there at about 6:30, 6:45. Didn't want to be late. We sat around and sat around and sat around. And this is a college. I mean, they've got this auditorium rented or whatever. At 8:30 or 9, I started leaving. I picked up my kids and my wife, and we started walking out. As I'm walking out, almost 9 o'clock, 2 hours after the printed time to start, the two guys are walking up. Hey, Brother Kincaid, so happy you came to be with us, you know. See our graduation. You judge these people that are just living together. You judge all these different things, and they think that our judgment is wrong. Well, what about their judgment of our judgment? You ever thought about it? They're judging my judging. Well, if my judging is wrong, is their judging wrong too then? If we can't make a decision, of course you judge. Amen. I judged when I got up this morning and decided, does this shirt smell all right? I made a judgment when I put on my shoes. I made a judgment when I put on my hair. Some of you saw me in my new hair. We make judgments all the time. Every day you make a judgment on what you're going to wear, what you're going to show, what you're going to cover. You make judgments about where you're going to go, whether or not you attend a certain event, whether or not you put yourself in a questionable place. Would it be wise to? Let me tell you something, friend. If you're a drunk and your friends know you're a drunk, if they've invited you out for a social drink, they're not your friend. You have to make some judgments. Some of your own drugs and drinking and stuff like that, let me tell you something. You got to change your friends. Now, I'm dead serious. I'm not joking. I have been with people that have been through 5 expensive, beautiful, well-oiled rehabs and still on drugs. You got to change your friends. You got to change the things you do. You may have to change the place you work. You make some judgments. You need to make some judgment about something. How about just say no? Is it that we have no willpower in America today? No willpower? There ought to be some. You better get some. Because I tell you, all this stuff, oh, I've just got a disease. Well, it's the only disease you can get out of a bottle, and can only get it that way. It's not a disease. You say, well, I have a propensity towards whatever. Well, all of us do. My body has a propensity for evil. My mind has a propensity. I mean, I've got DNA inside me that says think wrong. I think wrong every day of my life. Don't you? Don't you have to say, no, no, I will not do that. Sometimes you have to say, no, I will not look at that. Well, time and judgment. It's an amazing thing we have here, but it says to every purpose there's time and judgment. This wise man studied an awful lot of things. And evidently he was a good student. I'm going to take it that he knew what he was talking about when he wrote in the Bible because God gave him the wisdom to do so. And so I consider him a wise man. If I find out what he really understood on something, I think it's valuable to me. Well, I think about time. How much time you got? You know, just the other day on the news, Kirk Douglas, the movie star, celebrated his 100th birthday. And they said, why are you still around? He said, God doesn't want me. At least he believes in God, right? Hey, God doesn't want me. I always knew he was older than me, but I didn't know it was just about 20 years even that he was older than me. How much time you got? You ever thought about that? You know what? I had a couple of high school friends that I played ball with and ran around with. And the year we got out of high school, one of them was the catcher on our baseball team. Big, tall, rangy guy, very good catcher. He joined the Navy, stationed down in Corpus. He was riding his motorcycle back and forth. He didn't make it to 19. Had a motorcycle wreck out on the highway. Got killed. I had another friend. His folks didn't let him play sports. He was going to work. He had a couple of paper routes. He mowed lawns. He did other things like that. They were a real close-knit family. You may think of it as a very old building, but I was around when that building was being built, the old Coliseum out there. He fell from the roof as a carpenter. 18. How much time you got? I just passed 80. Now, I never in my imagination imagined myself being 80 or above. I thought I'd die young, leave a beautiful corpse and a happy memory. I can't die young anymore. Sorry, and I can't leave a beautiful corpse, evidently. So a lot of the things I thought about haven't worked out. Have all the things you thought about worked out? No, they don't. Let me tell you, bless your heart. You can have the very best wishes and the very best thoughts, and you have the hope of having the American dream, but it doesn't always work out, does it? Time gets in the way. You ever noticed how slow time can pass when you want it to pass? And when you forget about it, how fast it passes? Amen. That's the truth. Look about time. Every purpose, everything you imagine, everything you plan has time to it. And by the way, you're limited in time. You got a certain amount of days. Now, I don't know what those days are. You may live to be 105, and you might not. You might not be alive in the morning. We may be planning your funeral this next week. And my, it's an inconvenient thing. When a daddy dies and leaves a family there, when a mother dies and leaves some children there, and the father with the children, when somebody dies, when you got all these plans that you're going to do. Very, very inconvenient that your time has run up, but you only have a certain amount of time. Now, what about your purposes? Well, there's judgment. And you know, the world does not like judgment. Do you like judgment? I don't like it. It would bother me if a fellow said, you got to go to court this week. I wouldn't like it. I don't want to dress up in a suit and a tie to go to court. I don't want to worry about what some judge can do me in a court. I don't want to worry about having to get a lawyer to protect me in the court. I don't like going to doctors. Do you like going to doctors? I got 10. You get this old, you get a bunch of doctors. My doctors are retiring on me. Now that's bad when your doctors get old, you know. I got to get a new doctor that's 30 years old, you know, from India. Time. Every purpose. Time is one of those things that you got to figure into it. How long do you have before you meet God. I noticed, I don't even know what show it was in. It was a picture show. And this one guy said, "You want to meet God?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I'm going to help you." And of course, he shoots him, you know. "You're going to meet God today." Well, let me tell you, one day you're going to meet God. You're going to meet God. I have been in the presence of people that made me shake, that just made, you know, just did something with my mind. I don't want that power over me. I don't want somebody who can control me. I don't want all of these things. But that's what God is. God is in control. Now, you and I make judgments about the things that we're doing. This is going to be a good thing. James tells us about these two men that they get together. We're going to go into a certain city. We're going to buy and sell. We're going to get gain. Now, most of you in here want gain. Do you know what you have to do, young people, to really get along in life? You need to get a job where you can work hard enough that you make enough money for your boss to pay your salary, first of all, and then to make him more money, second of all. And if you can't do those two things, you're not going to make it in life. That's exactly what you have to be. You have to be profitable enough in your work that you can not only make what he has to pay you to get things done, but you got to make a profit for him to keep the business going and you to keep a job and whatever. So you have to use your time. I remember one time when I was crossing into the Salvadorian border of El Salvador, be easier for a way to say it. And it wasn't a really fancy border. It wasn't a big fancy building. It was just a big dirty place. But it was a place in the road and stopped. And there was a man out there and he had a long-handled shovel. Now somebody, maybe the government, I'm not sure, somebody's paying this man to use that shovel. And of course, you wait. If you've ever crossed borders, you understand. You wait all the time. Sometimes you wait hours. Sometimes you wait days. So we're out there waiting, and we're just standing around looking, and I'm looking at this guy. And he'll take his shovel, and he'll shovel it in, and he'll take it over here, and he cast it, and then he'll sit here and smoke a cigarette. And I thought, wow, what a job. I couldn't see how he was profitable to anybody. Anybody. I mean, come on, man. I mean, he smoked more cigarettes than he shoveled shovels. Your time's valuable. It's important. It's important to God. Now he says here, not only ever purpose has time, but he said it has judgment. Well, who's judging? Well, if you're going to school, the teacher's judging. If you're working, the boss is judging. Or the foreman's judging. Somebody's judging your work. I judge my own boys' work, my kids' work. Sometimes when they didn't do it right, I just made them do the whole thing all over again. Oh, they thought that was so mean. Probably still do. But you know what I was trying to teach them? Do it right the first time. Or it's going to cost you more than it's worth to you. I was judging. You didn't do a good job. So I said, do it all over again. And I watched them, made sure they didn't. Went around and was real picky. What was I doing? I was trying to train them. I wasn't worried about the dirt on my car. I was worried about what my sons would grow up to be like. We make judgments all the time, and I tell you what, we need to be worried a little bit about people judging us. You say, well, I'm tired of working for a boss. I'm going to be my own boss. Oh, now then you've got a whole bunch of judges. Everybody that hires you is your judge. And some of them are going to say, I don't like your work, and I'm not going to pay you. Judgment? And then there's God's judgment. Let me tell you something. You got a lot of purposes. You've already had a lot of purposes in your life. I look back on my life and I see all the things I did. I wanted to do and I did them. I planned to do them and I did them. I paid the price and I did them. Some of them, after I got through with them, thought we weren't worth the effort. They weren't worth the money. They weren't worth the time. And some of them I said, you know, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. You know, at about 21 years of age, I took Christ as my Savior. That's the best move I ever made. Best move I ever made. We're talking about trying to have a class on Tuesday nights, and I want to go to it. I want to be alert. I want to learn how to be a real good witness. I'm 80 years old. I've been preaching 60 years. I can still do a better job. I can do better than what I've done. I want to do better than what I've done. I want to learn a little bit. I want to think a little bit about how I'm witnessing or how I'm presenting myself to the person at the grocery store or the guy at the filling station or somebody down the road. My neighbor. God's going to judge. God's going to judge. The Bible says every idle word. My idle words? Not just my purposed words. Not just my thought out words. Not just my preaching words. God's going to judge every idle word. Everything comes out of my mouth is headed for judgment. You know what the world's looking at out there? They're racing. You're racing, and all the world is racing with you. You know what this world is doing? It just keeps on turning. Time just keeps on going. The world keeps turning. The sun keeps coming up. You keep getting another day, and you forget, did I do that? Did I not do that? Even you young people do that. We think about us old folks. Yeah, we forget a lot of things. Well, one of these days, it's going to stop. It's going to stop for you. Amen. One of these days, it's going to stop for the whole thing. A lot of scientists trying to figure out about this earth. They've learned so much. It's amazing. They don't have the wisdom of Solomon, though. It's amazing. They used to think, you know, the universe is slowing down. The Big Bang started with a great Big Bang. Went out there very, very fast. Now it's slowing down. You know what they think now? It's getting faster. It's actually separating so fast. And as it separates, it's not just going at a steady level. It's actually speeding up. Now, I don't know how they figure that all out, but they do. And I'll trust them. They're probably pretty wise. God's probably given a little wisdom right there. Let me tell you something. You know what the world's going to do and what you're going to do because you're part of this world? You're racing towards judgment. Racing towards the end of your time. How much time do you have to witness to people? How much time? How many years are you going to live? I told you about a couple of my friends. I went back to my high school reunion. Over half of my high school is dead. Over half. I'm still around. I don't know why I'm still around. God has a purpose, I guess. And I'm still going to keep preaching the gospel. I'm still going to be telling people about Jesus. I'm going to do it as long as I possibly can. Because is there anything else worth your time? Think about that for a minute. What is worth your time? You say, well, I've got to work on Sundays and I can't go to church and I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm too busy making a living for my family. You're too busy. You've set your hope on the wrong things. Amen. You're not doing the right thing. Amen. You need to learn the Word of God. You need to seek the Lord. You need to pray every day. You need to be in God's will because you only have a certain amount of time. What are you going to do when you go to heaven? Who are you going to win in heaven? They're all saved. Your work's done. What are you here for? You're here to do the work of God. You're here to make some plans. You're here to do some things. You're here to talk to some people. You're here to pray about people's needs. Wow, just look at the news every day. Oh, tragic, tragic lives. I think about my poor grandmother Kincaid. She had 5 children, 11 to 2 months when her husband died. Never knew either one of my grandpas. They were both dead before I came along. And I think about, what did she feel? I thought about this young woman. She was 30 years old. She had a boy, 11, that had to start being a man. And was the only father my daddy ever had, was his older brother. Tragic. Tragic. It breaks your heart to think, what did they have to go through? What did she have to go through? You know, she's the one that told me the Bible stories. She was the one that taught me about Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go. That was her. Oh, she'd take a switch and bust my little bottom. But she told me the Bible stories. She loved the Lord. She was a faithful Christian. And out of that came 5 of the sweetest people I've ever known. Did it hurt them? No. Maybe did them good. I don't know. I don't understand things like that. Maybe you're wiser than me. I don't understand how God works in our lives and moves. And what is a tragedy sometimes is a blessing. Every purpose. I don't know what you're planning on for today. I don't know what you're planning on for the next week, the next year, the next few years. But every purpose, it has time to it. And it has judgment to it. And you don't like judgment. The whole world doesn't like judgment. And they sure don't like us preaching on judgment. And the most quoted verse, I think, of the lost people in the world is, judge not. They can't find it in the Bible for you, but they can quote it. The Bible says, judge not. Well, you didn't read the whole thing, you big dummy. He's telling you how to judge.
Amen.
You've got to judge, and God's going to judge you for not judging. You need to judge on what you wear. You need to judge on what you say. You need to judge on who your friends are. You need to judge on what you work at. I had a young preacher. Wanted to make some extra money. He went to the ice house and he was selling Playboy magazines and beer. And I had to go out and talk to him. And I told him, I said, what are you doing? I got to make some money. Do you have to make your money here? Is this where you're going to make your money? Then I don't think you have very good judgment. He quit. All I had to do is talk to him one time. Bang, he stopped. He said, you're right, I hadn't thought about it. You need to make a judgment that what you do pleases God. What you do doesn't hurt your family. That what you do does not hurt your testimony as a Christian. Some people are going to look at you and say, you're just the same as I am. What good is your salvation if it doesn't change you to being a better person than I am already? Isn't that right? Well, let me tell you what. Every one of us are racing on this great spaceship in this whole universe out there. I don't understand it. It's way too big for my mind or for my wisdom or my understanding. But wow, does it make me think big of God. God's a whole lot bigger than what you ever imagined Him. He's a lot wiser than you could ever even think. You don't even get into His category. You don't know how to judge Him. But you're racing towards judgment, and the whole world is racing towards judgment. To every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. Now look at verse 7. He knoweth not which shall be. Boy, if you could just know what tomorrow's newspaper said, you could make a killing, couldn't you? But you don't know. You're just sure your team's going to win, but it doesn't. Oh, I have been so disappointed sometimes. You ever planned anything? You had real good desire and thinking about what you were doing, and you planned this thing, and it was going to go this way, and it didn't go your way? It just didn't go your way? It happens that way all the time. Now, all of us are on this great spaceship, and we're racing right into God's judgment. God's going to judge everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said, everything you've ever thought. You're racing towards the judgment. Oh, use God's forgiveness. Confess your sin quickly. Be humble. Amen. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to not let it fall on you. You've got a God that's merciful, a God that's a Savior, a God that loves you, a God that will receive you.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. No, there's only one name. That's Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. The living God. Godhead bodily. That's Jesus. Only one name. No other name even comes in the same category. Can't help it. Do you know not which shall be? And who can tell him when it shall be? He knoweth not. Look at chapter 7 and verse 13. Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful. But in the day of adversity consider. God also hath set the one over against the other. Here's this wise man again. Consider the work of God. I would say that if you would consider the work of God, you would have a much better picture of your own work. I would think if you considered the work of God, you'd have a much better picture of humanity and what humanity is heading toward. You'd have a better picture of how to live in this life if you would consider the work of God. Now, that's big. You can never get done. The smartest minds in the world are working on it around the world today. And bless your heart, they don't know what they're doing. They really don't. They don't even understand gravity. Now, it's the most common thing. It's why you're walking on this earth. It's gravity. It's why we go against it with airplanes and we do it with ships and we do all sorts of things. Nobody understands gravity. They don't even know what it is. They come out there and they think all this space is empty, and then they figure out, no, it's not empty. There's something there. We don't know what it is, so we call it dark energy. Or we call it dark matter, because we don't know what it is. You got all these PhDs and all their degrees and their years of working and looking at all these things, and they say, what is it? That's God. You're not going to figure it all out. But you ought to study God enough to know that. God's not like you. You think God's like you. He's not like you. He's absolutely unique. There's nobody like him. Wow. God gave us life. God gave us a brain to understand him. Why? I don't know, except it's in the mercy of God. God's mercy. That he wanted us to seek his face and be saved. And that's the most beautiful thing I know of in all the earth. It's the greatest work you can possibly do. If you do spend your life trying, praying, witnessing, passing out the word of God, trying to influence somebody to seek God's face and be saved and have their sins forgiven, what greater thing can you possibly do? The Bible seems to indicate that the value of one soul is worth more than all the wealth of the world. I'm sure we don't understand that. I'm sure I don't understand that, but I believe it. I believe the value of one soul. You know what you are? You are an ambassador for God. Your job is to represent God to your family and to the people around you. I don't know how many you'll meet in your day. I don't know how many people you can be an influence on. But if it's the only one, you're rich. You're rich beyond the millionaires and the billionaires that run the world and think they're so smart and so great, but you're rich beyond them if you have one soul that you led to the Lord. One soul that God used you to help get their sins forgiven, get changed. You know what it says? Consider the work of God. Who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Bless your heart, you can't. What God's done, you can't do. Nobody else can do. The scientists can't do. They're amazed. They look at it and they have to have an explanation because they don't want to believe in God. So they come another way. But look at verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. There's nothing wrong with you. You got a new job. You got a new house. You got a new car. Praise God. Be joyful that you got this prosperity. But he says, but in the day of adversity, consider. Many times we blame people for the tragedies that are in their life. And sometimes we do it wrongly. And many a good person has suffered rebuke or misuse because people didn't understand what was happening to them, like Job. It was not Job's sin that brought the trouble upon him. It was his righteousness. It was his service to God. But his friends couldn't help but think, it's got to be your sin. Even his wife, bless your heart, everything that Job suffered, his wife suffered. When my kids were growing up, I did not hear them cry at night, but my wife did. She had an antenna. Beep, somebody's crying. I haven't heard them. I didn't even turn over. And that woman lost all 10 of her children. You think it didn't hurt her? You think she's not looking at Job and saying, what are you doing, man? Why don't you just curse God and die? What are you doing? How did this happen to me? Many a woman has said, why did I marry him? Of course, some men have said that too. But Job's wife, oh, I'll bet she thought it day after day, day after day, after those 10 funerals had been done, after all of his wealth is gone, after all of his troubles. Your life is tied up with somebody else's life. It may be for good, it may be for bad. If you happen to have prosperity, praise God. Thank God for prosperity. I think you ought to thank God for America. I think you ought to thank God for the system that makes one guy make toothpicks better than anybody else in the world, and he makes a living making toothpicks. That's a great thing. I don't have to make toothpicks. I can just go to the store and buy them. And look at the stores we go into. You been in one of these plus HEBs lately? You get your exercise just walking around it. If you cover every aisle in which they want you to do and buy a little bit from each aisle, you're going to spend some money. They got everything, and so's the other ones. Look at a Walmart. Wow, all the things that they can do. And from all around the world. Your vegetables come from some places you can't even pronounce. Somebody over there is growing vegetables and making a living doing it. But when your day of adversity comes, it is right for you to consider. Because sometimes God sends the rain because of sin. Sometimes God sends a storm because of sin. Sometimes God sends people poverty because of sin. Sometimes that's true. You need to consider, and if you can, when you consider, you need to repent. Come to the place, yes, Lord, I know I disobeyed you. I let you down. Somebody talked about the day I repented. Well, it wasn't just a day. It's been a life of repentance. I haven't been able to quit repenting. I would like to. I would like to be to the place that I didn't have to say, I shouldn't have said that, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for I shouldn't have thought that. Lord, I shouldn't have done that. And then for the days that I ignore that and don't even say that. Yeah. In your day of adversity, you need to think about, number one, first thing, did I do anything to cause this? Is God trying to tell me something today? Because sometimes He is. Throughout the Bible, He says that these wicked, ungodly soldiers are His sword. And when they come up and run through the land, it just might be His judgment. I'm thankful we got such a wonderful God. God set one against the other. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Thessalonians is a real good book. In fact, the whole Bible is a good book. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. He's writing to some Christians that understand the Bible, understand what's happening around. And he said, you don't need for me to warn you about the coming of the Lord. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. How about the thief in the night? How does he come? Does he announce himself? Does he send you an invitation? Does he say, I'm going to drop by on Thursday night at 1 o'clock in the morning? Or Friday at 2 in the afternoon? No, he doesn't do that. Is the Lord going to send you an invitation about his coming back? No, he's not. You're racing towards that judgment, and God is going to finish some things up one of these days very quickly, I hope. Or he stops it all. Thief in the night. Now, do you go to bed every night thinking, I got to prepare for the thief? I hope you don't. That would be a miserable time, wouldn't it? To be always expecting the thief? And that's the reason why when the thief does come, it is a surprise to you. It is a surprise that someone would steal, somebody would do the damage they do. But look on the news. That's what the news is. Damage, hurt, disaster. Thieves are out there. I taught school for 20 years. I think in every class of 30 kids, there's at least one good thief. Man, I have lost pencils and pens and all sorts of things as a teacher. Yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, be real careful. When people start talking peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh. Go back to Ecclesiastes 9:4. This is just such a beautiful statement to me. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die. You think about that. Okay, I've heard the Bible says the living dog is better than a dead lion. How foolish. No. You know what you know? Everybody in this room knows this one thought. I'm going to die. If you don't know it, you're not very smart. We better send you back to school. Better let you read the good book. Why is being alive, and you're alive today? God gave you that life. That life did not come up by accident. It's not amino acids in a sloggy pool that produced an amoeba and a protozoa and they become a dinosaur. And you. God gave you that life. Now what about your life? What can you say today? I'm going to die. You're 10 years old? Let me tell you something. You're going to die. You're 80 years old, 90 years old, You're going to die. You may be 99, you're still going to die. I saw somebody who was 104 or 5 the other day. 104 or 5, bless their hearts. You know what they know? They're going to die. You know what one of the most valuable things you could ever learn is? I'm going to die. Because what you need to do is to do something in this life to prepare for what's coming, your death. There's only one thing you can do that makes any good, that counts at all. Take Christ as your Savior. Be sure. Don't have any doubts. Repent again.
Yeah, amen.
Ask God to forgive you again.
Amen.
Go to the Lord, seek His face, want to know what He wants you to do. Some of you are not ready to die. You are not ready to die. Your heart's not right. You don't seek the Lord. You're just living like
Amen.
You're living like a lost world. Nobody around you could tell you're a Christian. You know it. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Why? He knows he's going to die. Now, I'm not sure that the dog understands the dying, but a man does. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, and the dead don't know anything. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Beautiful, beautiful verses. Come out of this tremendous, horrible tragedy. Jerusalem has been conquered, torn down, burned up, raped and pillaged, killed. Her brightest young men and women are dead or carried off captive. It's a horrible time. Verse 21, Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Do you have hope? When everything's gone, he said, I have hope. What is my hope? Look at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen.
What gives me hope? God's mercy. I don't have hope in our government. I don't have hope in the world. I don't have hope in any other man, any other person, any other thought, any other belief, any other habit. I don't have hope in anything but Jesus. But I have hope in Him. God sent Him to die in my place.
He did.
He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and I call. And I've been pointing my finger to that book now for just about 60 years. It's what you said, Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, you don't have any other hope. No matter what things you plan now, planning on saving for a retirement, planning on building a business, planning on whatever, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Nobody can tell you. The Bible won't even tell you what's going to happen for you in your particular case tomorrow. There's one thing the Bible does tell you. There's hope, because God is a compassionate, merciful God.
Amen.
And He provided a way He could still be just and yet justify wicked sinners like you and me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Forgive us of our sins. Save our soul for all eternity. Change our lives in this life to something worth living for. May God help you. Let's stand up and sing, Just As I Am. 249. If God has spoken to your heart at all, you'd like to come down and pray about it, do so. Christian friend, get everything right you can. If you're here and you're lost and you say, I'm not saved, I'm not ready, then come on down here and get on your knees and ask God to forgive your sins, save your soul, and change your life. Make a